Please have your attention, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stastny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brewer. Rebound. He scores. Trent Brewer. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Frank Cusimano not here right now. He will be joining us, though, momentarily in a little bit. Front live from Boston, where last night the St. Louis Blues dropped game one to the Boston Bruins 4-2. So it's myself, Brian Hoffman, Darren Atkins, the Plowboy, and Jim Huer joining us here in studio, Charlie Marlowe. It's good to join us at about 11 o'clock at 11:15. Jeremy Allenbaugh of the STL FC. He'll be joining us to talk about the big game on Wednesday and on Saturday night down at the soccer park in Fenton. At around 11:40, we'll be joined by Dr. Rick Lehman. Jim, started off well last night, and then I guess Boston shook off the rust.
Yeah, that, you know what? Look, I'm not overly concerned. They lost the game that basically was a one-goal game. The one thing that I think the Blues missed is they missed their chance to get game one because you knew Boston was going to be a little off to start the game, and they were, and the Blues took advantage of that in the first period. They had the better jump. They pulled up a two-goal advantage when they scored the goal immediately to start the second period. Then Boston got their legs. They came back. The Blues couldn't stay out of the penalty box, whether it was helped by some officiating or not. You know, a lot of people on social media didn't like it. There was a few calls I didn't like. But the bottom line is, from basically the first 5 minutes of the second period on, the Bruins outplayed the Blues, which is not something that we have seen in these playoffs all that often, the Blues getting outplayed by somebody in a playoff round. Hey, you got beat last night. You get game two, and they prove they can play with Boston through the first period. We'll see what happens moving forward.
Blues dropped game one last night down in Boston, and also down in Boston is Frank Cusimano joining us now on the Maryville University listener line. Frank, how are you this morning?
Always good to be with you. Hope you're well. Everything's good.
That's good to hear. Frank, your initial reaction following game one last night?
My first thought was this, is are the Bruins at a level where the Blues can't get to? I mean, as much as we love the Blues, I had this passing thought as soon as the game ended. Will Boston get to a level the Blues can't get to? And I say this because it's 8 freaking wins in a row. It's outscoring the opposition, I think it's 32-11 in that stretch. It's a second period where you outshoot the Blues 18-3. Now, and then after I had that thought, my next thought was this. Well, hold on a second. How many times have we really been down on the Blues and their chances? And what happens? Well, they win a game 5 in Winnipeg. They win a game 6 in Dallas. They go from worst to first. So it's ridiculous to have this thinking that, well, Boston's just too good. I mean, you can have that passing thought for just a moment, but then realize who we are talking about. We're talking about the 2019 St. Louis Blues. And you know what? After the game, you know what Craig Berube did? Instead of, like, biting on officials' talk or bad calls or unfortunate. No, we're moving on. We're not going to blame the officials. The officiating wasn't great last night, but it was a classic Craig Berube, like, after the hand pass, hey, we're not saying a word about the officials. We are thinking about game two. So those were my two thoughts mainly right after the game.
Frank, when you walked into that locker room, the St. Louis locker room afterwards, did you get any sense at all that the team was like, "Whoa, we just got ran over by a truck, and we're not sure what how to deal with this." And you mentioned what Berube said. What about the players? Did you see them worried at all about anything?
No, I mean, I don't think they feel any differently. I do think that, like, this line, this top line of Boston, led by Brad Marchand, is the best line they're going to see. And I do think they believe that, yeah, this is a scary squad. But, no, I don't get the impression that, you know, they're too concerned because, you know, Jim, they've just been here so many times in these situations. Heck, the first game after San Jose, you kind of felt the same way.
Yeah, it's interesting you put it that way because I feel very similar that, okay, you lost game one. You were out playing them in the first period. You proved that they can, you can hit them in the mouth. Well, guess what? They hit you in the mouth, and it's time to respond to that. This could be a very long series, and it could go back and forth. In terms of atmosphere there, what was that like?
It was loud. I tell you, the most interesting thing I thought is when they put Robert Kraft on the big screen and everybody went crazy.
Really?
Can you imagine that? After what that scoundrel has done and what's been revealed, the Boston Bruins feel it's a good idea to put Robert Kraft on the board and everybody have a huge ovation.
They should lose for that reason alone.
Absolutely. And like on Friday in St. Louis, we'll put up one of the most benevolent sports figures and one of the great humanitarians of the last decade, Chris Long. That's the difference in St. Louis and Boston. They put up Robert Kraft. And we put up Chris Long.
Frank, I'm curious. One thing that allowed the Blues to at least escape the first round against Winnipeg was they didn't play their games or their antics on the ice. They didn't bite on that bait, and that limited the penalties. Whereas last night, it seemed like the Blues got caught up a little bit in some of the antics that the Bruins threw their way, and that led to scoring opportunities for Boston. Was there any talk in the locker room after the game about trying to stay a little bit more composed on the ice so as to not put the team in a bad situation?
Yeah, absolutely, and that was one of Craig Berube's thoughts. I mean, with the exception of puck poise, if I could coin that phrase, was definitely, you know, not working for the Blues last night. They had too many turnovers. But the other thing is the penalties. I mean, you know, Boston came in, I think they were riding the crest of a 7-for-15 hot streak on the power play, 34% for the postseason, which is outrageous and the best. How many people have told us, Jim and Brian, you know, in the last week, hey, to beat the Bruins, you've got to stay out of the penalty box. And what happens? Well, they commit five penalties. Now, granted, you could make an argument for, you know, some of those penalties maybe not being penalties, but, you know, Perron was not smart. Edmondson was not smart. You've got to show restraint. And that Edmondson-Backus thing, gosh, I guess Backus was right. We're not going to be friends here for a couple weeks. And, man, they were not. And I will say this. Backus may have sold it a little bit, and that's maybe what got Edmondson so upset. Bottom line is Edmondson committed the penalty before that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And speaking of Backus, I don't know if you saw that. I saw this about 10 minutes ago on social media. There was a shot when they had the scrum in front of Binnington, and Backus was in there, and Binnington gave the elbow to Backus. The reason why is because Backus was grabbing the back of his knee while they were down in the scrum. I mean, we love David Backus, but right now there's no doubt he is he's on the prowl to win himself a Stanley Cup. It's pretty crazy watching it.
Yeah, and you know, and Binnington got into it too a little bit. Remember when he kind of clipped Marchand and lost his stick? I love Binnington. I love the fact that, you know, he's got so much, you know, nerve in him, and he pulls little stunts like that. So I'm sure everybody saw that. And yeah, and you're right about Backus. We love him, but we're going to hate him for a week and a half.
How about just covering the event? Because we saw a lot of what you guys had worked on over the last couple of days on social media and on the television side. I don't ever, and again, we've never had a cup final here in St. Louis. It's been pretty immense, the amount of coverage and what's taking place with the lead-up to this thing. How about your take on it?
Well, Jim and Brian, there have been at least two instances in the last 72 hours where I have actually, like, glanced down at my press pass and thought, I'm covering the freaking Blues in the Stanley Cup final. What the hell is going on here? I mean, it really is. It's insane that, you know, we're talking, there's two teams left, and that's you know, and you look to your left and you see Barry Melrose. You look to your right and you see Doc Emmerich and Micheletti. I mean, you just, you know, we are part of the hockey capital of the world right now. And, yeah, the walking into that locker room, you know, even the day before, it was World Series and Super Bowl-esque. It is. It's not like anything I've covered. It's just, it's amazing that we're actually here. And now you can't make it a short stay. You got to come back and you got to win game two, come back to St. Louis 1-1. We've talked about that stat. It's really eye popping when you think about it, that 77% of the teams that win game one of the Stanley Cup final dating back to 1939 go on to win the series. That seems amazing to me. You lose game one and it seems like you have a very little chance to win, but all you got to do is have a good game plan, and you know they're going to come out sharp. You know they're going to stay out of the penalty box. They're going to play a good game. I don't know if they can win, but I know they're going to have a better effort than they did. I mean, think about what happened from that 2-0 lead on. It's like, did you have any shots on goal after that? Or, I mean, real legitimate chances? It was amazing the way Boston dominated after the Blues went up 2-0.
Frank, if you're trying to find some positives in last night's game, Braden Schenn, who scored one goal in his previous 33 games prior to game six for San Jose, has now registered a goal in two straight games, had an assist as well. His play yesterday had to have been encouraging for the Blues.
Oh, that's a great point. In fact, Brian, I was talking to Bob Plager in between periods, and he brought up an interesting point about Braden Schenn. He says, because Schenn is such a complete player and such a tough guy and can do so many different things for you, that sometimes he kind of forgets about the fact that he's a elite offensive player with great skill. And maybe he should stay away from some of those other things and concentrate on that. And that's what we saw. He had a great goal and a terrific assist. That whole top line, you know, it's pretty good. I think Tarasenko got off to a rough beginning, but he, Schwartz, and Schenn actually were, you know, the best line for the Blues last night, no doubt about it.
I think another encouraging point, and it was just game one. You lose game one, Frank, though. It was all the talk about Tuukka Rask, and he was so dominant for them. Blues solved him a couple times and then really didn't give him many tests last night. So I don't think Tuukka Rask right now has been the end-all, be-all that everyone said he was going to be in this series, at least through game one.
Yeah, you score two goals off 20 shots. That's not bad. The other thing was he didn't get really tested after like early second period on, you know, after that. So, yeah, that phrase, puck poise and getting shots on net, I mean, the Blues just did not have that at all last night, not at all. Guys, I also want to talk about a concept, and I don't know if you were watching real closely, but I do. There are some times when I'm watching a game, and I believe me, I've been watching the Blues for 26 years, not as much as Jeremy Rutherford, but I've been watching them. I just don't know what is a penalty. You know, like the Perron Corey Crew thing. I mean, those guys would have been arrested if that would have happened on the street, and yet there's no penalty call. And so, what does Krug do? Well, he takes out his anger on Robert Thomas moments later. But what happened? And then what about Charo chopping the stick of Tyler Bozak? How is that not a penalty? I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, it was frustrating at times last night. I'll agree with you that the chop of the stick, that's always a penalty, even the regular season. I would rather them swallow the whistle than call things. I didn't have a problem with them letting that goofy thing go in front of the goal, but in turn, call it that way the entire time. Look, Sammy Blais hit a guy from behind a little bit, but Sammy Blais could have ran him into the wall, and he didn't. The Robert Thomas penalty, he grabbed him from behind, but there's a 50-50 chance for a puck play there. I just wish they would let guys play. Unless it's a high stick or a delay of game, let the guys go and let them do their thing. They'll figure it out. That's at least my feeling on it. But you're right, Frank. There are times they get involved and you go, which way are we going to call this?
Yeah, and I will say this, too. I mean, I was tweeting about it last night. In no way in the world can you blame, you know, this game on the officials.
No.
When you get outshot 38-20, now granted some of those were on the penalty or on the power play for the Bruins, but it's not about the officials. because there were a couple of things that could have gone against the Blues, too. But they were not at their best last night, no doubt about it.
Frank, when did you get into Boston?
I got in Saturday night, midnight.
Saturday night. Okay, so you've been there now for about 2 nights. I'm just curious, before we let you go, what's the best thing you have eaten in Beantown since you've been there?
I had an Amatriciana in the north end at a pretty good place. But that was kind of a quick 45 minute. We're gonna have a chance for our first pretty good meal. We're going to Limoncello in the north end, which is one of the great pasta places I think in the country. And I just can't wait to dig in and dip that bread in the olive oil, and maybe have some fresh seafood pasta. The north end is like the hill on steroids. I'm not saying the quality of food is better. I am saying it's bigger. I mean, on an obscure, Sunday night, it looks like it's a Mardi Gras parade. It's insane how busy it is, and it's justifiably busy because you have nothing but Italian families who spent their whole lives working on a red sauce and perfecting it, and I just can't wait to sample it tonight.
Frank, thanks for joining us. We will talk to you again tomorrow to dive deeper into Game 2.
Sounds great. Guys, thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
That's Frank Cusimano joining us on the Maryville University Listener Line. This first segment, by the way, is brought to you by Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. Visit their website at worldwidetechnologyraceway.com, or if you just go to gatewaymotorsportspark.com, it will immediately forward you to wwtraceway.com. Also, Hollywood Casino. I'm sure that place was jumping last night for Game 1. It'll be a great place to watch Game 2 tomorrow night out there in Maryland Heights. Hollywood Casino, you can look at their concert schedule, by the way. They have a free shuttle that goes from the casino to the amphitheater and back. So it's probably the way to go when it comes to parking.
I didn't think about that.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Yes,
idea.
That's the way to go. Just, you can go there a couple hours before, have a drink or two, maybe play some games, grab some dinner, take the shuttle there and back. You can avoid the whole mess that it is for parking in that area. Probably the way to go. Hollywood Casino, our title sponsor. We'll take a short time out. We'll come back, have more Blues coverage, Cardinals coverage, all sorts of topics on the line here today for the Hollywood Casino Press Box. This is 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com.